Week two, we are back. Thank you to everybody who joined us last week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you got any feedback, please reach out to me at Twitter at StixPicks, StixPicks. Did hear from some fans from last year's show. They hate the, or they miss the crinkling paper. So we do have that. I got one page full of notes. The rest is on the interwebs, so I'm sorry to disappoint those that missed the paper crumbling, but I greatly appreciate everybody tuning in. If you haven't already, check out windailysports.com. Use promo code STIX, STIX. Hope everybody had a great week one. For me personally, in the DFS world, it was a little up and down right around the break-even threshold with the cash games coming in right at the end. My cash game in the DraftKings $250 single entry 50-50, I believe the field with 247 players is the one that I joined. It was, or 222, I'm sorry. It was the pay line, and it was very close to that in the $100 one, and then one of the other $100 ones as well. So kind of bankrolling myself that way to stay afloat, but my cash game lineup, what was good about it was Alvin Kamara was fine, nothing crazy. 22 points is great. Kenneth Walker was a smash play for both DJ and I over at Win Daily. A lot of the field was on him. We don't really need to talk about that or pat our back on that one. Tyreek Hill, Khalil Shakir was fine. Ate the chalk with Yoshivas. Ingram sucked. And Chargers D was the one, I believe, at the end. That interception on Gardner Minshew got me to the pay line. So better lucky than good, I guess. And the GPP side of things, I talked a lot about having faith in Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones. I went the Darnold route and then Daniel Jones in the other. Just honestly, it was so fucking close to the pay line in the game changer, which is that large single entry GPP at DraftKings. I would have cashed, but would have cashed relatively easy if that Mike Gesicki touchdown didn't get called back. I had 2% Gesicki. He was my way of getting different from Andres Yosivas, which was a full fade for me in GPPs. Worked out well. Not always going to work out that way, but man, Mike Gesicki did not drop that fucking ball. Like, watching that replay, it was like under review for a couple minutes, and I was texting my buddies like, all right, he's definitely in. You showed the replay. He's definitely in. He never, that ball, I don't know. It's like, I'm not here to bitch, but Christian Kirk was in my GPP lineup. He fucking sucked. He was a core play for me last week, so sorry about that. If you trailed there, I mean, Jacksonville offense just sucked as a whole, too. But, yeah, didn't need to be that good, honestly. My lineup was right at the pay line with 123.62 points, Kenneth Walker being a huge part of that. And I also got different with Jaleel McLaughlin at 2% ownership. No one's going to play guys like that in their higher-stakes single-entry GPP, so if you're into playing, you know, I'll call it kind of ballsy, right? Getting super different in a couple spots. If you can stomach that, you can make some money in that tournament. But he had 5 receptions for 1 yard. Like, dude, go for 10 or 13. And the one that he fumbled too, like he was trying to make a move before he even caught the ball. He caught the ball. It's kind of like behind his back a little bit and just fumbled it. But he had that guy shook. And I stand by the Jaleel McLaughlin play last week. The volume was there in the pass game. It was a perfect game script for using him with Kenneth Walker. My theory there was Seattle's kind of going to beat the shit out of him, and Jaleel McLaughlin's going to get a lot in the passing down work, and he did. He just didn't do shit with it. Tyreek Hill was a lock play for everybody, so don't need to talk about that. But Chargers D was my favorite play of the week on the defensive side of things, especially when they're cheap and at home against Gardner Minshew. We'll do that. And then on the betting space, let me pull that up. I only had 3 plays. I kind of dip my feet week one. I usually do that. I probably should do that a little bit more this week, but I do have a relatively full betting card. Pulling that up, I think the plays last week, we talked about it, the Panthers game over. That, I mean, the Saints, I think, fucking covered that themselves. I did think the Panthers would keep it close a little bit. That was a disaster. Josh Wiley, anytime touchdown did not happen. Didn't even get a target. He did set a nice block on Tony Pollard's touchdown run there, but they just didn't want him throwing the ball and whatever. Will Levis, yeah, you guys don't need to hear about Will Levis. And then J.K. Dobbins, over 1.5 receptions. If you go on Win Daily Sports, go to the prop builder, it'll show you all of my projections, like actual catches, actual yards, pass attempts, completions, all that good stuff. And then do the edge formula for you on the website to find what book the over or the under has an edge compared to the 80 model. So that was the highest one, I believe, at the reception window. So that was the one I took. I thought J.K. Dobbins would be pretty involved. I did not think he would break the damn slate at 4,900, but I did not have many lineups with him. In the Millie Maker, I did, but none of them had the right pieces to obviously tell a fun story about that this week. Week two, my bets so far are Derek Carr over 216.5 passing yards at BetMGM minus 115. Dak Prescott over 23.5 completions on BetMGM minus 105. Gardner Minshew over 200 passing yards minus 114. FanDuel. Derrick Henry over 69.5 rush yards. BetMGM laid the juice there, minus 125. Yikes. Get there, Derek, for us. Devin Singletary over 2.5 receptions, even money. FanDuel, Hayden Hurst, anytime touchdown, plus 550. Caesars, J.K. Dobbins under 56.5 rush yards. Caesars, minus 108. And Brock Purdy over 19.5 completions. Caesars, minus 125. I'm not, like, picking these out as a fan. It's just running the 80 model the way it does. Obviously, after injuries and all that stuff, and that could change this weekend, but I'd try to buy anything that I have like a 7% edge or higher on. And I believe the highest edge was Derrick Henry over 69.5 rush yards. I do not know if that is still at the window. I bought most of these Wednesday night and Thursday morning for the most part. But let's get into the injury side of things. Where are we at there? I'm not going to go through all of them, but CMC's out. Obviously, that's huge for everybody. Ken Walker out. That's big. Tyson Campbell out for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's like the only corner they have. That's going to be big if that weather holds up. Devon Vele, kind of the guy that shocked everybody with the target share for Denver. He is out. Davis Allen, one of the backup tight ends for the Rams, is out, if you care to know. But Colby Parkinson value, definitely going to be a thing this week. Penei Sewell, questionable for the Lions. Definitely interested in that for how that game could shake out with the game script of being a 7-point home favorite. Jake Ferguson, doubtful. I'm assuming he's out. And Jordan Love, highly questionable. I would assume that he is out, but I don't know that for a fact. So you guys keep an eye on it. But I'm sure I'm missing 100 other injuries. I do have it all written on paper, but I'm not going to shake up the paper right now. Going to the first game, we got Baltimore hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. Opened up at a 41-point total. Baltimore, 9-point favorite. We have 8.5, 9, depending on where you look. Let's see, what is Circa at? Circa is at 8 flat and 41, so that's pretty cool. Raiders getting a little bit of money. I do think they can keep up with this a little bit. I know Baltimore looked pretty good against KC. I don't know. I don't really have a lean on this game. Definitely not betting it. Not playing any of the quarterbacks. Lamar, I'd prefer to have him in a game script where the pace is going to be pushed a little bit, but he will certainly get to value if you're looking at him in a cash game. Atmosphere, I'm seeing 5% ownership there, and Gardner Minshew unowned. My exposure to Minshew this week is just on the passing prop, because I do think that this is a game Derrick Henry can run down their throat, and Gardner's going to have to chuck it, and I don't respect Baltimore's secondary as much as I probably should. Moving on to the running back position here, we got Derrick Henry at 7% ownership. If that is true, under 10% Derrick Henry at only 6,700, whew, almost a double-digit home favorite. I don't need to say anything else. We're not fucking touching the Las Vegas Raiders. Running back position here. Again, this is just a breakdown for the DraftKings main slate. Davante Adams at the wide receiver position, 7,300. Pretty affordable. Only 3% ownership. If you want to kind of mini-stack, you know, Derrick Henry and run it back with Davante Adams on the other side, or Zay Flowers, like, I don't know. You could stack up this game if you want to. There's a lot of fantasy explosion, but probably not getting there. I will have a little bit of Davante Adams and Derrick Henry running back and forth in some of my MME stuff, but not really interested in Zay Flowers in this game script. Jacoby Myers, probably a good spot to get fed a lot. Didn't break down a ton of this coverage because I just didn't have a lot of interest in it, and it's been a long week. So moving on to the tight end position, Mark Andrews, I think, is very cash viable at 5K. Brock Bowers at 4,400, though, in a game script that I and Vegas obviously project them to be coming from behind a lot. 4,400 for Brock Bowers is probably just too cheap. Right now in cash games, I am between him and Mark Andrews. I think Mark Andrews is just obviously at 5% ownership, and after what Isaiah Likely did on opening night, it's probably much better to just use Mark Andrews in GPPs, because at 5K, you don't need a game script that's like back and forth shootout where you're used to paying 6,700 for Mark Andrews and you need a huge game out of him. Like, you only need 15, 20 points. And on this slate with these tight ends and most of the field paying down a tight end, Mark Andrews certainly is a great way to get different. And then Brock Bowers, again, someone I'm very interested in on the cash game side of things. haven't decided if I'm going to play him or go down to like Parkinson or some bullshit. But defense, you could obviously use any defense you want. We don't need to talk about defense. So moving on to the Chargers and Carolina. Oh, I mean, there's going to be no ownership in any of this game. Maybe J.K. Dobbins at 5,400. I'd rather have Gus Edwards, I think, for 200 less, but I probably just don't want anybody in this game. But Gus is probably someone you should look at the touchdown market if you're going to fade in DFS. J.K. Dobbins, I'm obviously on the under on the rushing at 56.5, but this game opened up at, what, 39.5. It's sitting there. The Chargers are a 5-point road dog. I don't know. I have a hard time handicapping both these offenses. I think, you know, Hayden Hurst is in a good spot going back to Carolina, 3K. I did think I may have brought something down. No, I did not even break down. Carolina D with the Evero. So going to complain to play a ton of zone, and they should blitz a lot. But, you know, like I said, it's hard to predict. LEC, I don't hate the spot for Hayden Hurst is what I wrote here. Lack of back and forth makes me scared to play anybody that's not a RB. Again, I would lean Gus Edwards in this touchdown script and lack of back and forth because I think Carolina fucking sucks. So we'll move on from that game. Going to New Orleans and Dallas. Leading up to, like, today, yesterday, I was all about stacking Dak Prescott and this game as a whole, like using Kamara as a run back, using Olave as a bring back, run back, whatever you want to call it. You guys don't care, do you? So, and then double stacking Dak with CD and Brandon Cooks, because I do think that this coverage is something that both of these offenses, honestly, like, the Saints are going to surprise you. They're going to hang in games. I do like them to cover. The spread right now is, it opened at 6, a total of 46. It's bet up to 46.5, still pretty much sitting at 6. I wish I could buy a point to get the Saints plus 7, but again, when I don't like betting sides that much. I think these lines are so damn sharp. I don't think we're going to beat handicappers often on the side. But with Dallas D, we're going to see a lot of blitz and a lot of zone. I don't think Zimmer's really ever going to go to man coverage. And just like in week one we saw last week, they refused to run man coverage. So for the Saints, looking at historically with Kubiak and just Derek Carr in general, against the blitz, it's going to be a lot of scheming for the X. That's going to be Chris Olave, you know, the hot routes against the blitz, against the zone, probably a little bit of bump up to the tight end. But we are going to see routes ran from Foster Moreau and Juwan Johnson. So I don't know. I'm not really into that tight end thing and definitely not playing Taysom Hill. I don't know. I don't think that this is a spot for Rashid Shaheed, but again, that guy can just break the door open on one play like we saw last week and many times last year. I think this is a great spot for Chris Olave. Looking at quarterback ownership in this game, Derek Carr unowned. Probably not interested there. I do respect Dallas' D a little bit, but I don't think they are going to be as good as the public thinks. I think Kubiak will have a great game plan, and they're going to fight in this game here. And I think Dak Prescott, 6,700, 3K, probably one of my favorite GPP quarterbacks. Alvin Kamara, right around 5% at 7K. I do think that if this is a game you get exposure to in GPP, you probably just game stack it because no one's going to be on it. And if this game goes, like, for Dak to hit value and for CD to hit value and for obviously paying 7K for Alvin Kamara to hit value, you're going to need a big game. So I would just game stack it if you're interested in that. But I do like Alvin Kamara, right around 5% ownership. His price tag is just a little expensive, and we did see a lot of fucking Taysom Hill last week, which is frustrating. I guess they just won't give up on him. But 8,800 CeeDee Lamb may not be a better matchup on paper. He will see some Alante Taylor, and Marshawn Lattimore, I believe, was questionable. But Saints D is going to run a lot of man coverage with Ryan Nielsen, so we should see a big boost in what is already a strong target share for CeeDee Lamb. But dude, CeeDee Lamb looks jacked. I was telling my buddy the other day that, yeah, like, he put on weight, and he's just a beast. Like, I wish that was a guy I had in my main league fantasy roster, especially now with Tua going down and Tyreek's value just, boom, dead. But love CeeDee Lamb. Obviously wish the best for Tua as well, so get better, buddy. Hope to see you on the field. And then Chris Olave is going to be like 5% owned at 6,400. I think it's a great price. But as I mentioned, I think that this was a game that I really like, just going like Dak, CD, running it back with Olave. And then now as I look at it and the ownership kind of going nowhere and the total not really moving, it's like, all right, the only way to really blow up and beat the field if you're playing this game is probably a 3-2 game stack. So again, if I had to do that, it would be Dak, CD, Brandon Cooks at 5,600 and 2% ownership. He looks good too. Like, he looks young. I don't know how he keeps doing it, but Brandon Cooks, have a great little career for you, buddy. And then running it back with Alvin Kamara and Chris Olave. Probably not going to play Shaheed. Tight ends, I don't know, Luke Schoonmaker, if you want to talk yourself into that at 2,900 with Fergie out. Probably not doing that. And like I said, with Taysom Hill, Juwan Johnson, the Foster Moreau routes ran things just kind of turning me off a little bit. Moving forward to another great game, we got Detroit, Tampa Bay. Opened up at 51.5. That is holding true. And Detroit is a 7.5, 7-point favorite, depending on where you look. I mean, should be awesome. It should be a really fun game to watch. I have a ton of interest in this game. Detroit's D with Aaron Glenn should see a good mix of coverages. They will run a little bit of man. They'll run a bunch of different zone looks, two high three and cover four. So what we will see is a lot of blitz from them. And Tampa Bay, I really didn't boost anybody on the target share, kind of just the expected, what the 80 model has. So your good mix of, you know, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Jalen McMillan bumped up a little bit and dropped the tight end, Kate Otten. I think Jalen McMillan's a stud. On the other side with Tampa Bay, here's my paper one for you. We are going to get no man, like a bottom third expected man rate. So we'll get maybe a little bit, but a ton of blitz with Casey Rogers here in Tampa Bay. And here you go. Amon-Ra St. Brown against elite blitz rate teams last year. So we got week one against KC. He went 9 targets, 6 receptions, 71 yards, touchdown, 19.1 fantasy points. Week four, 5 for 7, 56 yards, touchdown. That was against Green Bay, 16.6 fantasy points. Obviously, the touchdown saved him there, but still, like to see 7 targets. What do we got next? Week six against this Tampa Bay team, the Bucs. Blitzing a shit ton, 12 receptions on 15 targets, 124 yards, and a touchdown, 30.4 points or 38.4. Can't even read my fucking handwriting. Big game to summarize. And then week 10 against the Chargers, who blitz a ton, 8 receptions, 9 targets, 156 yards, touchdown, 30.5. Yeah, so that Bucs game had to be 38.4. Week 12. Against Green Bay again, 9 receptions, 11 targets, 95 yards. The only game against a high blitz rate team that he did not get in the box, 18.5 fantasy points. Week 15 against Denver, high blitz rate, 7 receptions, 9 targets, 112 yards, 1 touchdown, 24.2 fantasy points in PPR format. And then week 16 against the Minnesota Vikings, who just blitz the ever-living hell out of everybody, 12 receptions, 14 targets, 106 yards, 1 touchdown, 28.6 fantasy points. That equates to 24.01, I think, fantasy points per game, 103 yards per game, and damn near 11 targets per game. So yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown against the blitz, rack it up. So moving into the players here, I'm sorry, quarterbacks. Jared Goff, 6,400, 3% ownership. You could do that if you want to. Penei Sewell, I think, would be a big difference maker for me in how I think this game plays out. Like I'd always advise people, try to tell yourself a game script and build a lineup that fits that narrative and, you know, build around it. And then for Baker Mayfield, I wish, like, that was one of the bad for me. David Jones at Wendaily Sports was all over him. I just had a hard time figuring out that game and if Washington's D was going to be that bad. Spoiler alert, their secondary still absolutely sucks. They look really good against the run. And all the Rashad White chalk coming down the end, that was making my cash game sweat a ton. And I forgot what play it was. I don't know. Should have got a turnover earlier, or Tampa Bay should have punted, and then they ended up scoring on that last drive, I think. But quick water break, but yeah, probably not going back to Baker, but you certainly could if you think this game will shoot out. Vegas certainly thinks it will. On the running back side of things, we got Jahmyr Gibbs at a great price, 6,600, 15% ownership. I'm cool with it. I'd prefer Penei Sewell be in for me to play any of these running backs. Rashad White, I'm definitely out at 6,300. I think Bucky Irving's good. I do think Rashad White's good too. He's just not very efficient on the ground, and we all knew that. I think Bucky will see a little bit more week in, week out, but Rashad White's still the pass catching back there. So if you got Rashad White in season long or anything like that, don't panic, but maybe get Bucky as a handcuff. David Montgomery, 6K, probably not for me. Wide receivers, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'm seeing 10% ownership. Yeah, I'm going to be very interested in that. On the other side, Mike Evans, 6,500 or 7,500, 5% ownership. Everybody's going to go to Godwin at 6K for 1,500 less than Mike Evans. That makes sense. I would rather have Mike Evans if I'm stacking this game. Jameson Williams, what a coming out party, dude. That was awesome to see. He's such a good dude. Like, listening to him talk, he's so happy. He loves football. It's awesome. I'm happy that he's finally kind of showing out to his name and his talent that everybody thought he would be, and maybe they keep scheming in place. But against the blitz, I think Goff just goes back to his boy, Amon-Ra St. Brown. So love him here. Jalen McMillan, if you need a punt, 3,600. You could certainly 3-2 stack this game if you wanted to as well, or 4-2 stack it with all the passing that is anticipated. Sam Laporta, 6,300. Hard pass at that price when Mark Andrews is 5K and same ownership at like 4 or 5%. KDOT and out. Moving to Indy and Green Bay. I'm going to move past Indy and Green Bay. Unless Jordan Love plays them, maybe there's a little bit of sex appeal in this game, but I don't know. Josh Jacobs should get 25 touches. There's my comment on that game. Cleveland and Jacksonville, keep an eye on the weather. It's classic Florida, but it does look like it's going to be pretty bad there Sunday, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully it's not a complete washout and just 35 carries for Jerome Ford, but maybe if it is, keep an eye on Jerome Ford. Looking at the quarterback position here, actually, let's go to the line. What do we got? Opened up at 42, Jags minus 2.5. It is 41, 41.5, Jags minus 3. Kind of like the over in this game, but again, with the weather, not gonna push my chips in or anything like that. Trevor Lawrence, 5,700, no ownership. Deshaun Watson, 5,600, no ownership. I mean, both of these guys are probably intriguing from a GPP perspective. If you think this game could shoot out and there's no ownership there, these guys' target shares are very predictable. You know, on the Lawrence side, maybe a little less predictable than we'd like, but I think with all the blitz that Cleveland's going to bring, should be a good spot for Christian Kirk. And Brian Thomas is probably just too cheap for how good this guy probably is at 4,700. I'm not going to pay 7,200 for Travis Etienne against the Browns. Jerome Ford, 5,900, good price, 15% ownership. I don't know. I think Jacksonville's just a pass funnel, so probably out on Jerome Ford. Amari Cooper, 6,200 with no Tyson Campbell, is fantastic at 3% ownership. I think everybody right here in this price range is going to Malik Nabers, and we'll see projections when we get to that game for ownership. But Amari Cooper, if this weather is low-key and quiet, I think that's a fantastic play in any format. Honestly, 6,200 for Amari Cooper. It just does Deshaun Watson suck or not. I don't know. That is for you to probably say yes to and probably be right when we find out after the game on Sunday. Again, I don't know. I think it's a good spot for Christian Kirk. I probably will game stack this, maybe in the Millie Maker or two, but Brian Thomas Jr., 6% ownership, 4,800. Sorry, I think I said 4,700 earlier, but yeah, he looks like he's the real deal. So very excited to watch him. Evan Ingram, no one's going to go back to him at 5,400. Probably a great time to do it. But again, I don't know. I have a hard time handicapping Jacksonville's passing offense, even though I said the contrary to start. And then no David Njoku. He is out. I missed that one in the beginning. I think he's on IR, but Jordan Akins, 10% ownership. There's no way that's true, and there's no way I'm playing Jordan Akins or Akins, whatever. San Fran of Minnesota. Oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going back to Justin Jefferson, but this game opened at 44.5. San Fran, 5-point favorite. It is now bet up to 46. 46.5 at Circa. I think this game goes. I think this game has a lot of stack appeal. And San Fran's a pass funnel. So Brock Purdy, 6% ownership, 6,100. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with stacking him with Kittle, Debo, Ayuk. If you want to go to Jordan Mason, you know, he's going to be a free square. We don't really need to talk about that. 5,200, you're definitely taking it in cash. I'm probably highly considering the free square in GPP. Sam Darnold, 5,200. Don't hate it. I do think you could pass all over San Fran, and I do think this game stays pretty close. I do trust Minnesota. Jordan Mason's going to be 100% owned. No interest in Aaron Jones, but yeah, 5,200 for Jordan Mason with CMC out. That's pretty easy. Just don't overthink it. Justin Jefferson, 8,300. I'm seeing 9% ownership. I think that's a fantastic GPP option. Going to be very interested there. Debo Samuel, 22% ownership. I don't know if I believe that, but 6,800 is a good price for a guy that touches the ball 8, 9, 10 times a game. Especially with CMC out, we're going to see Debo run a lot. Brandon Ayuk, 6,500. I do like that because this should be a good spot. Brian Flores is going to run a ton of zone, but like I said, when breaking down Amon-Ra, the Minnesota Vikings blitz a ton. Ayuk is the priority and the hot route guy for Brock Purdy against the blitz, so I think this is a really good spot for Ayuk. Even wrote here, bump up for Ayuk. Debo will get his regardless, but I think I'm going to keep an eye out on Brandon Ayuk receptions prop. I do have him. Let me find the actual projection. Where are the 49ers? I got him for 4.5 on the button, and I think that is what every prop is at, is 4.5. So if we can get like a, we're not going to get a 4. So probably not moving on that prop, but yeah, unless so you got a book out there that doesn't offer the hook. If it was 4 flat, I would definitely jump on that. Love this spot for Ayuk. Tight end position, you could always play George Kittle. I'm not going to tell you not to. No idea what to do with the Minnesota tight end, so hard pass there. 5,500 for George Kittle at 5K or 5% ownership is pretty sexy, though, if you want to stack this game up, because bringing Justin Jefferson back against a pass funnel defense seems so easy. So definitely going to have a lot of interest in Justin Jefferson on the GPP side of things. We got Seattle at New England. What do we got there? Opening total 39.5. It is sitting at 38.5 at most books, 39 at Circa. Seattle is giving 3. No Kenneth Walker. I'm not even talking about the quarterbacks in this game with the pace that we'll likely see. Zach Charbonnet, I'm assuming, is going to be very high owned. I think that's fine in cash. I think both defenses in this game are in play. Ramondre Stevenson, guy got 25 plus touches last week. That's awesome. I don't know. I don't think you could really run on Seattle. I think we saw it last week, but obviously that's the Denver Broncos in an offense that we just don't know a whole lot about yet. But I respect Seattle's D. I'm not playing Ramondre Stevenson. DK Metcalf, 5,900. It's like almost time to just do it, but not in this game for me. But he is way too cheap. You could potentially play him in cash, I guess, if you wanted to. But yeah, we'll move on to the next game. This will probably be another quick one. Honestly, with a team total of 22.5, I did have a lot of interest in GPP for Aaron Rodgers. And then news came out about Russell Wilson, so it's like, hey, you probably should just play Justin Fields for cheaper if you're going to do that. But I do think Tennessee's a pass funnel too, like I think with San Francisco. So I don't mind Rodgers. He didn't look terrible. He didn't look great, but I don't know. San Fran's a pass funnel, and he didn't get it done at all. But I think I'm going to play Aaron Rodgers in the early only slate. I think this is a really good spot for Garrett Wilson. This guy just gets peppered with targets, but Tennessee's D with Denard Wilson is going to play a good bit of man, and they're going to blitz a lot. Rodgers against the blitz runs a ton of hot routes with the X, so that will obviously be Garrett Wilson. Should be a monster volume day for him because I don't think you're going to be able to run on Tennessee. I know the Jets will try, but I don't know. I don't hate Aaron Rodgers there. Breece Hall, 7,400. I'm seeing 25% ownership. No way that's true. I'm not paying up for Breece Hall in this matchup. Probably not going to Pollard on the other side, but San Fran ran all over the Jets on Sunday night, so I don't know, maybe you could, or Monday night, whatever it was, but Tony Pollard, 5,900, not bad for the expected workload, but let's see the ownership on Garrett Wilson, 16%, no way, I feel like he'd be under 10%, so I don't know if these projections are good or not mature yet. That's a bit of a beatdown. I thought he'd be like 5%, but yeah, I'm okay with Garrett Wilson at 7,100. No interest on anything Tennessee, so this is a game that I'm not stacking. I'm just using Aaron Rodgers if in the early slate as a value, and I'll honestly probably pair him with Alan Lazard because Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard against the blitz in Green Bay, like that was his guy. I know that's not, he's not the X anymore, but he's probably going to run a lot of routes in the slot, assuming Mike Williams gets the training wheels let off a little bit, but 3,300. And I hate to like even consider Alan Lazard, but like chasing the points for Monday night, but his price is just too low. If the guy's 6'6" or 6'5", whatever, he's going to have nickel corners on him that are small, and he's really good at finding open spots in the zone. So I'm okay with Alan Lazard there at 3,300. Tight ends, no interest, no Josh Wiley. Wish he would give him targets because I do think he's a stud and will lead the Titans in touchdowns this year for the tight end position. Going to the next game, the Giants and the Commanders opened at 43. Commanders a 1.5-point favorite. Jaden Daniels probably the chalk on the slate at 6,200. That dude can run. I don't know like who to compare him to. He takes long strides and he's still fast as hell, but I don't know. Did not like what I saw from him throwing the football. Sucks for Terry McLaurin shares right now. Maybe they figure that out, but can you go back to Daniel Jones and just play the Baker Mayfield tore him up? Obviously Baker had a really good year last year and is a much better player than Daniel Jones, but for 5,300, Daniel Jones is interesting, but I'm seeing 7% ownership. If that's true, I will let the field have it. I'm not playing Jaden Daniels. I kind of like the Giants D here. I think that they're so talented on paper, kind of like my lean with the Chargers last week, but I don't know. Devin Singletary, Brian Robinson Jr. Brian Robinson Jr. for 5,800 is probably where I'd go so far for exposure in this game. But definitely on the GPP side of things, with him only being 5% owned, no interest in Eckler or Singletary. Wide receiver position, Malik Nabers, 5,900. Sounds like he is good to go. The knee injury is not going to hold him back. We just talked about this Washington secondary. Play Nabers in cash, 5,900. Everybody's going to, so I'll just follow suit there. Wandale Robinson got a ton of first reads and a lot of routes ran. Probably a good guy to go to in the slot, but I would rather have Malik Nabers on the outside in this matchup 10 times out of 10. I just worry about what the ceiling is with Wandale Robinson. But if you got stuck in cash and have like 4,300 and you're not playing Malik Nabers, I'm okay with Wandale in cash. No interest on the tight end side of things. So this is fun. We're skipping a lot of games. Usually when I do this, this is either a great week or a horrible week for me because I'm kind of setting my way on like I only want a couple games. But here we go. Los Angeles Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. This one's going to have a ton of ownership. Opened up as a pick'em and a 49-point total. It is now 47.5 at Rivers and 48 at Circa. Arizona is a favorite by one. I do think Arizona can get it done. Not much ownership on either quarterback. Kyler at 6,600, 6% ownership. Cool with that. Matt Stafford, 6K, 6% ownership. Very cool with that. On the defensive side of things, sorry, I keep forgetting that. I don't know. I already lost that page, so we'll just continue to move on because it is going to be tough to really handicap what the Rams will do. Obviously, Cooper Kupp is going to project for everybody like a fucking superstar. Lock him in cash. I think it's 7,500 and he had 21 targets last week, but I don't know. I don't think they're chasing points like they did against Detroit. I think this game's kind of back and forth, and hopefully Arizona can smidge him out because I am going to probably lay the point there. Kyren Williams, 6,800, 20% ownership. I'm out. James Conner, 6,400. I was kind of dead on with this guy last week. I'm kind of pissed I didn't play more of him, but he's going to get a ton of run, a guy that's going to check the 20-touch box scenario, so I'm okay with that. Love James Conner. Wide receiver, we already talked about Cooper Kupp. It's kind of like, where does the value open up? I'm not going to play Greg Dortch at 4,600, but like DeMarcus Robinson, he's going to be 12 to 15% owned at 4K. I think it's okay for cash if you don't play Cooper Kupp, but you're probably just going to play Cooper Kupp at 7,600. My bad. And then Colby Parkinson, let's see what his ownership is. Only 5%. There's no way. I think he's like 10 to 15. 3,100. A lot of targets there just with Puka out. And obviously Davis Allen, I don't think he changes a whole lot. But Trey McBride at 6K on the GPP side of things, that's where I would stack with Kyler because I'm just not going to play Russian roulette with Marvin Harrison Jr. yet. Wish his workload gets picked up a lot, and I think it will, but yeah, that's a bummer. I guess I bought the price high in my season-long draft at the end of round two and never thought he'd fall that far, and I was like, fuck, I guess I got to take Marvin Harrison Jr., and I'm eating that one because if I had Jameson Williams on the bench, if I start him, which I probably, you're not going to start Jameson Williams, but man, anybody else, and I win that matchup, so that sucks. Difference of 0-1 and 1-0. Moving on to the next game, Cincinnati at KC. Should be a fun one to watch, but I'm very worried about Joe Burrow. Opened at 46, bet up to 48, 48.5 at some books. Kansas City's laying 5 or 6. I think Kansas City should walk backwards into covering this game. That's probably where I would lean, but again, I don't like to bet sides. Let's see who the ownership is on Mahomes. 17% at 7K. I think that's probably true. No one's going to play Joe Burrow at 6,300. If you want to get crazy, you could. I got to see it first. He did not look good against New England. Isaiah Pacheco, probably close to 20% ownership at 6,900. Cash game viable for sure. GPP viable for sure. I mean, I think that this is a game they can kind of run away with, and we do see a little bit of Samaje Perine and Carson Steele, but that is my game script. That certainly may not be the game script. Zach Moss, not really interested there, but if Cincinnati wants to stay in this game, they got to ride him and stay out of a shootout with Patrick Mahomes. On the wide receiver side of things, I'm seeing Rashee Rice for 30% ownership. So basically, the optimizers are saying people are stacking Kansas City or expecting them to. I think this game goes way under in ownership. But obviously, you could stack Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy. I'm not paying $6,100 for Xavier Worthy, but that guy can blow the doors off, as we saw opening night. And Jamar Chase, $7,800. It's like, good price, but I don't know. Again, I got to see it for Burrow first, so I'm probably not going to be very invested in this game. Definitely not paying $6,200 for Kelsey, but I think it's safe if you need to do it in cash games, but you probably just play Mahomes if you're playing any KC guy in cash games or go to Pacheco in the running game. Moving on to the last game of the slate. We're going to fly through this. I love it. Pittsburgh at Denver opened up at a 38-point total. Pittsburgh laying 2.5. It is 36.5-point total now. Pittsburgh still laying 2.5. I don't think we need to talk about much coverage here. Justin Fields probably going to be right around like 5 to 10% owned at 5,400. I think you just eat it in cash or pay up to like Patrick Mahomes. So that's kind of my options right now. I'm probably leaning Justin Fields. And if his ownership's that low, I may just play him in GPP because, again, I love Justin Jefferson. Again, I don't think the field goes back to him. I love CeeDee Lamb. You know, Amon-Ra. It's like I like Garrett Wilson. Like, I probably need to find a way to pay up for these wide receivers. So that's probably where we'll go. On the running back side, Najee Harris at 5,500. If you're not playing Fields, like, that's a fantastic spot. The same reason we love Kenneth Walker, but Kenneth Walker is kind of like a established 2.75 down back. I don't know how much we'll see Jaylen Warren, but we will see a little bit of Cordarrelle Patterson. That always pisses me off. Jaleel McLaughlin, probably not the game script because this game's just probably not going to get out of hand in either way. And, you know, he's going to get his touches either way. But my game script with him last week was Seattle beats the breaks off of him and Jaleel has to play a lot. And they didn't beat the breaks off of him, but that game was definitely not as close as it should have been. Seattle should have covered that 6. No interest in a wide receiver here. I'm sure you guys are down with that as well. Pat Freiermuth, 4,100, 1% ownership. So if you want to stack Justin Fields, you could, but you're probably playing Justin Fields naked because his rushing abilities. But yeah, quick slate. I love that. I feel like we forgot a game, but sometimes you just got to throw away games and shrink your player pool, and that's kind of a way to either be successful or have a shit week. But with that said, definitely come check us out for the final thoughts on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern at WinDailySports.com or at YouTube, WinDailySports over there. It's all free. So it's honestly for you guys. If you got questions, feel free to reach out to us anytime on that show. I'd prefer we just answer questions instead of go through the games like I did today. But I'm excited. I think it's a slate that I'm locked in on. So it'll either be great or either be shit. But once again, this is the First and Sticks podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Use promo code STICKS if you're interested in signing up at WinDailySports.com. I should have my cash and GPP playbook out later tonight. This is Friday. So hope you enjoyed the show. Good luck this week. And thank you all for the support. And hopefully see a bunch of screenshots from some winners this week. And let's keep rolling.